Welcome to another evening on the creek. It's just before sundown here in Fish Lake Valley on Chattahoochee Creek. We're going to study the book of Obadiah. We just finished Amos. Amos means burdened, because Amos had a great burden and no one wanted to listen to his message. That happens so many times with God's preachers. God gives you a message, but no one wants to hear it. In Obadiah, I'm going to read a little bit about what Spiro Zodiotti said about it. Obadiah is the shortest book in the Old Testament. Though there are 13 different men with this name mentioned in the Old Testament, none of them can be identified as the prophet with certainty. Obadiah means servant of Jehovah. It means to worship Jehovah, is what it actually means, is to kneel and worship Jehovah. It says no definite conclusion can be given to the date. People have, some of the scholars have it after 586 BC. Obadiah's prophecy predicts the fall and utter destruction of Edom. Compare Isaiah 34, 5 through 15, Jeremiah 49, 7 through 22, Ezekiel 25, 12 through 14, and Amos 1, 11 through 12. It seems to have been written for the encouragement of the Israelites rather than bring Edom to repentance. Edom, the sons of Esau, was a perennial enemy of Judah. Every year, every time that they could be a chance, they were enemies of the sons of Jacob and repeatedly displayed their bitter hatred by attacking Judah. Edom openly rejoiced at the defeat of Judah in Psalm 137, verse 7, and filtered into the vacuum created by Babylon's victory. Though they were proud of their mountain strongholds of Petra, which seemed to be invincible, they would not be able to stand against the day of the Lord when Malachi 1, 2 through 5 was written. Edom had been severely defeated. Nabataean Arabs defeated Edom and occupied their territory, and that is not all. The rest of the story, which was later called Idumea, the Herods of the New Testament times were from the Edomite remnant of Idumea. After the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70, the Edomites passed finally from the pages of history. But God prophesied against Edom. He prophesied against Edom. You want me to take my neck brace off? The vision of Obadiah, thus saith Adonai Jehovah concerning Edom, we have heard a report from the Lord, and an envoy has been sent among the nations, saying, arise and let us go against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. Now, Edom was not small among the nations. Let me tell you a little bit about that place. Edom, or Petra, was a large city, a very wealthy city. Las Vegas, it was like Las Vegas of the time. Edom had water. They had cisterns, they had piped water, they even had lead-lined pipes. They had great underground systems, they had swimming pools. They had, it was like restaurants. People could go there like a summer retreat. In the hot, blazing sun of every place else, you could go wade and swim in swimming pools in Petra. But there was, and they were a great trade route. It was like a gas station, a super gas station that would that people needed it. They needed water. Back in those days, the camel, the sheep, the goats needed water, and Edom could provide it. But God said that He would bring them down, and that's exactly what happened. He didn't bring them down by force so much as He did. He changed the trade route from Petra to Palmyra, and that was a death stroke. Finally, by the 1800s, Edom was completely gone. No, they thought it was a fictional city. They thought the Bible was full of hot air. But now they found Edom. They found Petra. And they still, to this day, there's cisterns down there that work. They were virgins. When people would go there, they would go there to get married. The virgins would baptize and wash themselves before they were married. I don't know what the men did, but the virgins did. Anyway, they had swimming pools. They had great stores of food. Edom will be humbled, God said. The arrogance of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the clefts of the rock, the loftiness of your dwelling place. Who say in your heart, who will bring me down to earth? Though you build high like the eagle, though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares Jehovah. If thieves came to you, if robbers by night, oh, how you will be ruined. Would they not steal only until they had enough? If grape gatherers came to you, would you not leave some gleanings? Oh, how Esau has ransacked and his hidden treasures, and they had treasure houses. They had one great building that's in many movies called the Treasury. These things were carved out of the sides of mountains of solid rock. They had scaffolds up there, and they would go and have niches in the mountains, and they would put the scaffolding out there, and they would carve beautiful facades. But Edom would be brought down. Oh, how you will be ruined. All the men allied with you will send you forth to the border, the men at peace with you will deceive you and overpower you. They who eat your bread will set an ambush for you. There is no understanding in him. Will I not on that day, declares the Lord, destroy wise men from Edom, and understanding from the mountain of Esau? When your mighty men will be dismayed, O Teman, O Teman. One of Job's friends were from Teman. In order that everyone may be cut off from the mountain of Esau by slaughter, because of violence to your brother Jacob, you will be covered with shame. Not so much as conquering and conquest, but by literally losing their life's blood, their trade, would they be totally destroyed. And you will be cut off forever by that trade. On the day that you stood aloft, on the day that strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gate and cast lots for Jerusalem, you too were as one of them. Do not gloat over your brother's day, the day of his misfortune. Do not rejoice over the sons of Judah. You know, Esau and Jacob were brothers. Now, Esau was a strong man, but Jacob was a much stronger man. Esau was a glutton, and Esau was a playboy, so to speak. Jacob was a breadwinner. He was the strong man of the family. Jacob wasn't afraid of Esau because of his strength. It was because of his craftiness and deceit. In the day of their destruction, yes, do not boast. On the day of their distress, do not enter the gate of my people. On the day of their disaster, yes, do not gloat over the calamity. In the day of their disaster, and do not loot their wealth. In the day of their disaster, and do not stand at the fork of the road. Here we have a poem. We see the stanzas of this poem rhyming. And do not stand at the fork of the road to cut off the refugees. Don't stand there by the fork of the road when the people are trying to flee from slaughter and you cut them down. Do not imprison their survivors in the day of their distress. And now we talk about something so great, the day of the Lord and the future. Obadiah, which means to kneel and worship God, he talks about the day that we still look forward to today, the day of the Lord. That's the day when God will judge the whole world. For the day of the Lord draws near on all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. In Galatians, in the New Testament, let's go there for just a moment, the book of Galatians in the New Testament, 6. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that same thing will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall reap from the flesh corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So when we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Did Esau do that to his brother Jacob? Oh, no. Now, this is the New Testament, written by a Pharisee by the name of Paul, but he was converted here. And then, let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Paul is telling the Galatians, or not the Galatians, but the Corinthians, about giving and providing for those. And when I was present with you, was in need, I was not a burden to anyone. When they were brethren, came from Macedonia, they supplied my need and everything that I myself, being a burden to you, and will continue to do so. As the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine is not in stopped in regions of Acacia. Paul told the church at Corinth that he was not a burden to them, that he provided for himself. Back in the 9th chapter, it says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each one of you do just as he has purpose in his heart, not grudgingly, under compulsion, for God loves a hilarious giver," is what it literally says. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, and he gave to the poor. His righteousness abides forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the need of the saints, but also in overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience and your confession of the gospel of Christ and your liberality of your contributions to them in all." From the book of Obadiah, we can learn to give today. From the book of Obadiah, we know that what we sow, we shall also reap. For in the day of the Lord draws near the nations, you have done, it will be done to you. Your dealings will return on your own head, because just as you drank on my holy mountain, all the nations will drink continually, and they will drink and swallow and become as if they had never existed. But on Mount Zion, there will be those who escape, and it will be holy. And the house of Jacob will possess their possessions. Then the house of Jacob will be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau will be stubble. You're going to reap what you've sown. And they will set them on fire and consume them, so that there will be no survivor of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. Then those of Negev will possess the mountain of Esau, and those of the Shephelah, the Philistine plain, and also they will possess the territory of Ephraim and the territory of Samaria. Now I'm preaching. Okay. There are very many exciting things around us. I know that. And there's an albino kangaroo rat back there. That's probably what you're seeing. I've seen him several times. One of those big fish may eat him here when he gets too close to the creek. Now let's get back to the Word of God. Then those of the Negev would possess the mountain of Esau. Those of the Negev refers to the southernmost part of Canaan, which was a dry country of rolling hills in which the patriarchs and many of the tribe of Judah preferred to make their homes. After Judah's defeat, it was possessed for a while by the Edomites, who were later annihilated by the Nabataeans. Plain refers to the foothill region between the coastal plain and the central range of Palestine, which was possessed by the Philistines. Now, if you go to Proverbs 11th chapter, verses 24 through 31, Proverbs 11, 24 through 31, let's look at this. "There is one who scatters and increases all the more. There is one who withholds what is justly due, but it shall result only in want." If you don't give, you're not going to have enough. A child of God, if you're not giving to the Lord, if you don't give, you're never going to have enough. You'll never have enough. "The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. He who withholds the grain of the people will curse him. But blessings will be upon the head of him who sells it. He who diligently seeks good seeks favor. He who searches after evil, it will become to him sowing and reaping, giving and being stingy. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like the green leaf. He who troubles his own house will inherit wind. The foolish will be servant to the wise-hearted. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He who is wise wins souls. If the righteous will be rewarded in the earth, how much more the wicked and the sinner? Jesus Christ died for our sins. There's nothing in this world we can do to repay Him. We can be thankful to Him. We can thank Him by what we do with our lives. We can thank Him by what we give to God's causes. We can thank Him how we teach God's Word. We can thank Him, but we can never pay for what He's done for us. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. The God of eternity, John 1:14 says, Kaiho logos arx agenito, the Jehovah flesh He became, and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only one from beside the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father. That one has led Himself out, and He gave Himself for us. The God of heaven redeemed us. No religion in the world can get you to heaven, only Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this night. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the blessings of the life that You give us, for the breath we breathe every day. Forgive us where we fail You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.